Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our text this morning, the words of the Gospel, Luke 24, especially with the words of Jesus, which said, "O slow of heart and slow to believe, did you not realize it was necessary? Do you not know that these things were necessary?" When things don't make sense, we ask, why? Why did it have to turn out this way? Why me? Did this really have to happen? Was it necessary? Why this suffering? Why this loss? Why did this person have to get sick? Why this confusion or this delay? We ask those questions at different times of our life, but I wonder if anyone asked them quite so fervently as these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Here they are, having followed Jesus, having put all their hope in him, and suddenly, in their limited understanding, they think their hopes are destroyed. Jesus, the one that they thought had finally come to redeem Israel and fulfill the promises, had been crucified. He was gone. And even though they've heard the news of his resurrection, how can you deal with information like that? And so this night finds them walking away, leaving Jerusalem, the place where everything had fallen apart. They'd heard the reports, of course, the empty tomb, the angels, the witnesses. But come on, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with life as we know it. It doesn't seem possible. And everything that led up to it, they couldn't figure that out either. God finally sends the one to make everything right, and he dies in weakness. And so when Jesus comes up to them, they don't recognize him. And I think we do the same thing sometimes. When Jesus comes up to us, how easy it is not to recognize him because we're thinking about things all wrong. So he comes up alongside them, and they weren't absolute fools. Scripture says they were kept from recognizing him because they needed to hear and know. And so Jesus engages them with conversation. What are you talking about? And they're incredulous that he doesn't know, though of course he does better than any. Jesus listens, though. Knowing everything they're saying, he listens carefully, hearing their fears and their confusion and their heartbreak before speaking these key words. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Necessary. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a tragedy. It wasn't unfortunate. It wasn't even a deviation from God's plan. This was it. It was necessary. Yet somehow, in limited human thinking, they couldn't grasp it, just as many still can't. So Jesus goes on. And you know, of all the teachings of Jesus that I wish I could hear in person, this is the one. This is the one, as Jesus gives, undoubtedly the finest Bible study ever heard on earth. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained carefully how everything written pointed to him. Because the suffering of Christ was not a failure in God's plan. It was God's plan. And every promise, every prophecy, every sacrifice, all of it pointed right here. Think about it. Just a few. The tree of life. The Passover lamb. The bronze serpent in the wilderness. The prophesied birth. The suffering servant of Isaiah. The Davidic king who would reign forever, the Psalms that cry out in anguish, and so much more. All Scripture was pointing right at this moment. God had said these things. God had promised. And so it was his necessary, his perfect plan. But why? Necessary for what? Well, listen to how our epistle answers us. In 1 Peter, we read that we were ransomed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Almost sounds like Martin Luther. I wonder where he got that idea. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish. Because we desperately need what only he can do. Because your sin, it's not a small thing. Your guilt is not imaginary. Your death is not avoidable by effort or morality or anything else we do. And by ourselves, we have no hope. If salvation could have come any other way, the cross would not have been necessary. But it was. Sin must be paid for, not just overlooked, to come back later. Death must be defeated, not delayed. And so Christ suffers, not for himself, but because I need to be redeemed. And so do you. There's nothing theoretical about this, nothing abstract. This is deeply personal. It was my sins that made it necessary. God's love embraced that necessity so that through this suffering we would enter his glory, the glory he earned. It was necessary. Now, Jesus pretends that he's going on at the end of the day, and they invite him in for a meal. At least in confusing times, they haven't forgotten the virtue of hospitality. And they ask this man who had so clearly exposited Scripture, still they don't get who it is, they asked him to eat with them and spend the night. And as a pious person would do, they asked him to say a blessing, and he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And you almost see it happening. Hey, wait a minute. We've seen this before. In a moment there at the table, their eyes are open. They see Jesus. They become physical witnesses of the resurrection, and they know it's true. And now look what happens next. Once they recognize him in the breaking of bread, what do? You know, a prudent person would have said, let's get a good night's sleep and set out first thing in the morning. That would have been safe because it was late and dangerous and inconvenient. And none of that mattered. The news is too good. It was necessary. They had to tell the 11, the Lord is risen indeed. They're driven and compelled to speak and cannot contain themselves. Because if Christ is risen, silence makes no sense. That news must get out. It must be shared. It changes everything. And it did going forward. In that first reading today from Acts 2, we see that carrying forth in the early church as Peter preaches, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And what happens? The people are cut to the heart. They repent, as we did already today. They're baptized. They're added to the number of those who were being saved. You see, this storytelling, this gospel communication, this witness that we're invited to share, this also is necessary, not because God needs it, but because this is how God delivers what Christ has accomplished. He calls us to repent, not as a work, but as turning to receive the gifts. He calls us to the water, not as a symbol, but because there he adopts and blesses and places his name upon us. He gathers us to the church, not as a formality, but as life together in Christ, so that we are his body to protect and help and aid one another, to receive his gifts one with another, and to reflect his light even brighter to those around us. And this is still how Jesus, the risen Jesus, continues to meet people, to bless them, to show us his mercy and give us his grace. And so here we are. We who know the story, but still sometimes walk our own Emmaus road. Why, Lord? Why did this have to happen? Why am I going through this? I don't understand. But we're not so different from those two, because Jesus is always walking with us. When we recognize it and remember, and even when we forget, we walk with Jesus even when we don't see. He's there when we're in confusion. He's with us in disappointment. He's there when we ask questions that don't seem to have an answer. He's here with us, not distant, absent, but walking with you, showing his word, showing us again all that he has done for you, all that was necessary. And while we might walk on some wrong paths, the Lord never leaves our side. He is always there. Just as he was made known to those disciples at the table, Jesus comes among us today in the same ways. He's here, opening his scripture to us, blessing us through the Spirit's word, his own trustworthy, unfailing word. And he welcomes us to a table where he takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it. I am here. Not just remembered, Jesus himself in his body and blood, the same body that was crucified and risen, the same one that walked that Emmaus road, somehow by the almighty power of God is here. And as we come in faith, we receive him. We recognize him in the breaking of bread. And then by his Spirit, maybe we can also follow the other example of the Emmaus disciples. We go to tell others the good news because it's still necessary. Not because the message depends on us, but because God chooses to bless us by sending it through us, by sending his word into your home and into all your callings this week, into your conversations and your friendships, into trouble and confusion and doubt. The risen Christ is still being proclaimed by you, and the child of God is driven, sent with his word and equipped. What can we do but to share that good news that we have received? You know, there still will be times when we ask those hard questions, when suffering lingers or prayer seems unanswered, when life doesn't make so much sense. And often we would wish we would get the answers as clearly as those two did on the Emmaus Road. But this much is certain. Our Lord has shown us what is necessary. His suffering was necessary. Your redemption was necessary. His word being fulfilled was necessary. His presence with us is necessary. And so still he walks, unseen perhaps, unrecognized, but always present. "I am with you always," he says. Thanks be to God, so he is. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.